Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Take a quick moment to make a plug for the life groups. We still have, right now I think we have five that are functioning. We still have a lot of names of people that have signed up, but we don't have anywhere to put them yet because we don't have any leaders that have volunteered to take a group. So I'm making an urgent plea this morning. If you've signed up, I had a lot of people that put question marks under leading a group. I'm about to the point where I'm going to take a question mark as a yes. these groups are important. When I first came here in 1997, there were 22 functioning groups. And as soon as I walked in the door, I was put into a group. And it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. Because when you look at a church this size, and all the people that are coming, and there's new people coming all the time. Now, sometimes they come and they don't come back. Maybe if there was a life group to immediately put them into where they could get to know people, that might be the thing, that might be the glue that keeps them here. And so we do have, right now I think I have probably 12, 15 people that have signed up. They want to be put in a group. I had another person the other day that said they wanted to be put in a group. So, and I have several people that said they'd be hosts. So if you're interested, there's a sign-up sheet out back there right now that has four names on it. I have one that's full. I'm already trying to make arrangements with that one. I have another one back there. Please sign up. Give me a call. Let me know. Or I'm going to start calling you. And I say that with love, because it's important. It was important in the first century church. Y'all, if there hadn't been house churches or house... Yes.
I just have to stand up for it, because...
Please.
It flows in my lifeblood. My wife and I said I've been doing these life groups for 20 years. Okay? I'm not that old, but I look that way. You don't know what kind of fun guys you are. You really don't. You are an awesome bunch of people. And you have so, so much to give to that one that's sitting next to you. And I'll tell you something else, too. It's not hard to lead a group.
No.
All you have to do is just be willing and say, Lord, I want to experience your life with my brothers and my sisters. And just take the plunge. When you do that, you'll be there for 20 years or more, I guarantee you. Because you are a great group of people, and I love every one of you. And here's one more thing. When you grow and you change, if you move, you still have that connection with that person you've experienced life with in a group 20 years ago, and you can start up a conversation just like that because the bond is that good.
Thank you. Thank you. One final thing, and he said how easy it is. We had our first group meeting 2 weeks ago. We're going to have another one this afternoon. And we started off at 4:30. We ate. And I had, of course, Acts 2, 42 to 47. Where else would you start your first meeting? And I started it. I read the passage. I said maybe 2 or 3 minutes worth of words. And I was done. It took off. And it spread. And about an hour into it, one of the guys in the group said, hey, hold everything. And he looked at me and said, Andy, did you have a plan? Did you have something that you wanted to do? I mean, you obviously you're the lead guy in the group. I said, no. No. I said, I expected God to do exactly what he's done. To make a long story short, the last people left our house at 9:30. We loved it. See, you're not really... Look, God's in charge. And I don't think there's any debate, and I don't think Terry would debate this. I know he wouldn't. The leader of this church is not Terry Hale. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Terry's the man that is the set man. God put Terry here, and I submit to his authority. But Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the head of this church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Okay? Enough said. I'm staring at all of you. Okay? All right.
Andy.
Yes. Amen. 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 The passage this morning is in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Wednesday night, Pastor Terry used a quote from Bobby Connor, and I've heard him use it one time before. And I know that many of you have heard Bobby Connor, and he's a man of God, and he can be humorous, and sometimes he says humorous things that are not necessarily meant to be humorous. But he said, and Terry repeated this, and here's what he said. Many church people are familiar with a God that they barely know. And I've heard him say that before, but Wednesday night, for some reason, it hit me in the right spot. And I took it personally. And I hope when you hear it this morning that you do too. Because there's a lot of truth in that. Because a lot of times, based on how long we've been in church, and when I say that a little facetiously, because the church is not this building. Without people in here, it's just a building. I'm the church. You're the church. And if you go to a restaurant today and you take a crowd with you, the church is in that restaurant. We are the church. Okay? So as long as you have been together as a body, sometimes we develop traditions. And those traditions change through the years. And sometimes those traditions become what we believe, not what God said. Okay? And so as we go along, sometimes those traditions become entrenched in us. And it's not what God said, it's what God made. And then it becomes religion, not relationship with God. If we continue to keep this right, then this will stay right. But when this starts to take over, this starts to be hurt. So we have got to stay in line with God, that otherwise we barely know him. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Because when we begin to seek the things of religion then we begin to be less interested in the things of God. I heard Martha teaching this morning, and she was talking about television. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. I mean, and I can still be that way. There was a time when Blue Bloods was on my weekly calendar. I'm just being honest. Y'all, sometimes when the power goes out, that's God's way of protecting us. You know, sometimes if we spend more time in this than we do in that television, it's God's way of protecting us. His word. His word is what is best for us. And we have got to begin to understand that religion hurts us and relationship with Him is what helps us. So it becomes a thing of religious memory versus spirit memory. You know, I can remember things that God told me 20 years ago, but I can't tell you what happened in the last episode of Blue Bloods. You know what I'm saying? Because there's been some things that God has shown me in my darkest hours that I'll never forget. I'll never forget it, ever. Let's look at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Now, that was kind of an interesting way to put that, because that was sort of like a DMZ. Vietnam vets will understand that. Those that were in Korea will understand that. It was a demilitarized zone. You know, Samaritans were considered to be, and I'll use this word, and some people might cancel me, but it's what they considered Samaritans to be, half-breeds, because they had, when they were overrun in 720 BC by the Assyrians had a practice of taking some of the peoples that they conquered to another country, and they'd take some of the ones from another country into the one that they had conquered, and they would have them move in together, and they would have them have children with one another, and so they weren't Jew and they weren't the people that they brought in. But the Samaritans did believe that Abraham was their father. But the Jews hated the Samaritans. So Jesus went between the two countries, or the two areas, in that passage. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, distance is a key word there. And religion is all about distance. It's all about distance. Religion wants to keep those people who are not like us away from us. See, what's going on in our country right now? Listen, y'all. Listen to me good. Government is a religion. Politics is a religion. I was raised by my father, who was raised by his father, and they were Republicans. Now, if you wanted to get my grandpa, and he was a foreman of the machine room at Henry Don Furniture, and those of you that are as old as I am and maybe older, Henry Don at one time was thought to be one of the premier furnitures in this country. Now, if you want to stay on his good side, you didn't talk about politics unless you wanted to talk about Republican. And growing up, I wanted to stay on my grandpa's good side and my daddy's. And it had such a hold on me. And I finally broke it. My driver's license now has an I on it. I'm independent. I've been set free. Because politics is a religion, y'all. Republicans want to hate the Democrats, and the Democrats want to hate the Republicans. But the truth of it all is really this: they're in it together. They want power. And it doesn't matter who really controls the Senate and the House. They're in it together. Because their goal is to get us to do what they want. And so if they can keep us divided, listen, it divides churches. This is not my home. My home and my king is not of this world. My king's coming. And he's not coming as a donkey or an elephant. I'm sorry. So we have got to get rid of this. We've got to quit letting a false religion divide us. We have got to be the king's bride. And that's not a religion either. That's a life. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be. And it is not man-made. It is not man-made. And these 10 lepers who stood at a distance lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. I want to share a story with you. Every time I get up here, you're more than likely going to hear a story from India. I can't help it. It's my life for 10 years. In this particular case, I was on a boat, and this was a fairly good-sized boat. It had a well where you could go down in and sit, and it was a good-sized river, and there was a guy sitting up on the main deck, and he had his back up against the side of the boat, and he had a pot here, and he had a pot here. And in this pot, he had a dipper, and in this pot, it looked like a piece of cheesecloth over the top of it. And every now and then, he'd take a dipper of water, and he'd lift up the cheesecloth, and he'd pour water in it. And then he'd reach his hand down in there, and he'd move his hand around, and then he'd pull the cheesecloth back over the top of the pot, and then he would sit there for a little bit. And I watched him for probably 30 minutes, and finally I looked at Boppy, my friend over there, who's the, you might as well say he had an apostolic gift. He's still planting house churches. I met him when he was 29, and now I think he's 42, 43. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, he's got fish in that pot on the right. And he's just putting enough water in there. And what he's doing is he's pushing water through their gills so that they'll stay alive till he gets from the market." He says, "Nobody wants to buy a dead fish." And I got to thinking about it. Well, that's true. I mean, you know, if I'm going to buy a fish, I don't want one that's dead, you know. And then it hit me. The irony of it. Here this man is with a container of fish that he's pouring a little bit of water And that container is sitting against the inside wall of a boat. And that wall is separating those fish from a river that has all the water for abundant life. And if they could just somehow get through about 6 inches, they could have all the water that they needed for life. For life. And as I was reading this passage, and it says that when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. These lepers, it doesn't say how far away they were from Jesus. And he didn't say be healed, did he? He didn't go over there and lay hands on them. He just told them what they had always known, what they had always done. The traditions and that had been passed down through the generations. He just said, "You go. You just go to show yourselves to the priests." But it says they were healed on the way. But the next verse says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Praising God with a loud voice. One of them. Praising God with a loud voice. Now see, we've been talking about religious memory. You know, some of you, maybe got saved when you were a child. Some of you maybe you got saved when you were at vacation Bible schools. Maybe some of y'all got saved later in life when you were a teenager. Maybe some of you got saved like I did when you were in your 40s and you'd been an alcoholic and a drug addict. Well, see, I used to look at that as a disadvantage, but now I look at it as a blessing because I didn't have a whole lot of bags to unpack. Do you hear me? I'd been out of church for 20-something years, so I didn't have a whole lot of traditions, and most of the stuff that I knew was 25, 30 years, and I'd forgot most of it. So I didn't have a whole lot to unpack. Now, I will admit, the first few, on a Wednesday night, Vaughn Clark was the first experience I'd had with church in 30 years, and he kind of scared me. And the first, it was a Wednesday night, and he comes to where I was sitting, about right there at the corner of the sound booth, and he starts telling me stuff about me that only me and God knew, and that kind of spooked me. And in the next couple nights, every now and then, when the dancers come in, I make sure I sit on about where Eric's sitting, I sit on the end seat to where if things got too wild, I could get out. But other than that, I didn't have a whole lot to unpack. But you see, we have this Samaritan. You know, he didn't have a whole lot to unpack either. You know, he'd been looked down on. He'd been, you know, cast aside. He was a misfit. Kind of like me. Come on, y'all.
Yes,
are there any misfits in here this morning? I like misfits. I get along with misfits because they don't look down on anybody. They've been too used to being looked down on themselves. They don't look down on anybody. Jesus liked them too. Come here, Peter. Why is your teacher hanging out with prostitutes? Why is he hanging out with tax collectors? Why is he hanging out with all of these people that nobody else wants to hang around with? Or why would he want to hang around with the Pharisees? Come on. Rutherford County's full of misfits. You want to have an impact on somebody's life? Go to Henrietta. Go to Caroline. Go to Cliffside. Come on, y'all. Spirit memory. It's remembering the presence of God. It's remembering the day that he come down and told you it's okay. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you did when you were there. He cares where you are now. And he cares where you're going. And he wants to lead you there. And he wants to keep you there. And in the times when people are trying to tell you that you were still the same old man that you used to be. I remember when I got saved and I was working at Parker Hannifin. I remember when I changed. I remember when I wasn't drinking a fifth of bourbon every day. And you know what? Some people was more upset with me when I got saved than they was when I was a drunk. I had people tell me, man, you can't be doing that in here. You got a job to do. Well, you didn't tell me that I had a job to do when I come in here with alcohol on my breath. Why are you coming in here when I'm telling people about Jesus? The kingdom's upside down, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's an upside down world. Oh, Lord. Jesus is good, isn't he? I love it when he shows up. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. It's the first time they mentioned that. We got all the way through this passage, and now they mention that he was a Samaritan. But you see, leprosy was an affliction that created unity. Them other nine were Jews. And they didn't care that he was a Samaritan because they all had leprosy. So they were all just kind of hanging out together. But they went on. They went on. Because they gave in. They gave in to that religious memory. But the Samaritan came back. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? They went on. They were relying on 1,500 years worth of teaching that had been handed down generation to generation. But see, what they didn't realize in Leviticus 14:14, you can go read it, but here's what they were going to do. They were going to take a guilt offering, and they were going to have some oil, and they were going to have some blood. And the priest was going to take some of that oil, and he was going to put it on their ear, and he was going to put it on their thumb, and he was going to put it on their big toe. And then he was going to take some of that blood, and he was going to put it over the oil on their ear, and he was going to put it over the oil on their thumb, and he was going to put it over the oil on their big toe. So they were going to be clean from what they hear, from what they touch and do, and where they go. You see the religious significance. Well, see, that's already been done in Jesus, hadn't it? We don't need that anymore. And somehow, that Samaritan knew that. He knew that. He knew that he didn't need to go for that religious thing. He knew that. And Jesus said, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? You know, in wartime, how many veterans do we have in here? Now, I know some of you were in combat, some of you weren't. Like me, I wasn't. But when I was overseas, I had pictures. Do you have pictures of people? Anybody in here have pictures when you went? Why did you have pictures?
Memories.
If you had a girlfriend, you had a wife, you had pictures. And when you couldn't see them, you looked at it, right? Right? But when you got home and you were there in person with them, did you look at the picture every day even though you had them with you? Did you? That's what the Samaritan was doing. See, he didn't need to go look at a picture in the temple, because the real thing was there. Jesus was there. He didn't need to go look at a picture. He didn't need no blood and oil on his ear. He didn't need it on his thumb. He didn't need it on his big toe, John. Jesus was there. He was there. And the Samaritan discerned that it was unnecessary to go. And as soon as it hit him, he stopped. Maybe the nine said, "Where are you going, man?" He said, "I'm going back here because the king has come. The Messiah is here. You go on. You sit down and have you a nice lunch with the priests. You go right ahead. I'm going back here because I'm healed. I'm already healed. I don't need anybody." Y'all, when I got saved, and I wasn't a recovering alcoholic when it happened either. I was delivered. I didn't need to go to rehab. Some people do, and I'm not knocking it. But I was delivered. I didn't need it. The Samaritan didn't need it. He discerned. Now look at 19, and there's something really important here. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way." He didn't tell him to go on back to see the priests. "Your faith has made you well." Now the Greek word that's translated "well" is translated "made whole." But in the Jewish New Testament, it's translated "saved." Sozo. So not only was he cleansed of leprosy, he was born again. Yes. Come on, y'all. Yes. The nine were healed. He was healed and born again. Because he realized who it was that had done the work. I'm going to ask you all to stand. I know I'm a little early here, but I feel like the Lord has, I believe this. I believe this. When I asked you a minute ago if there was any misfits here, I'm going to ask you another question. Is there anybody in here that's hurting? And I mean spiritually or physically. Is there anybody in here that has any spiritual problems? Is there anybody in here that has something that for man is impossible? Is there anybody in here that maybe you don't have leprosy, but maybe there's something going on in your life that you've been begging God to take care of? Is there anybody in here that needs something? Now, these 10 lepers, they talked to Jesus in the natural because he was there. And all they had to do was start walking. If that's you, start walking down to this altar. In the walking, sometimes there's healing. In the walking, sometimes there's Jesus waiting on you. God is in the waiting. If that's you, just come down. Just come down. Because sometimes there's healing in the walking. Sometimes there's healing in the taking that chance, taking that risk. Sometimes. Because for what's not possible for man is possible for God.
Amen.
Don't wait. Take a risk. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can do for you what it is you need. Just cry out to God. Cry out to God.
pray for everybody. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Father God, just thank you, Lord, for every person who has yielded to the Holy Spirit to come up here to this altar call, God. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who has yielded to the command of Jesus to go and be healed in your going. And God, we just pray for every person that has a physical pain, God, that you would heal that physical pain in their bodies, Lord. God, we pray for everyone who is in mental anguish, God, who needs your comfort, Lord. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just fall upon them, God, just like that oil would, God, when they would anoint them from their head to their toes, God. Let them just be saturated in who you are. Your word says that your goodness and your mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, God. You're chasing us down, and there's no way we can outrun you, Lord. So I pray, God, that every person here today is reminded of that, how faithful you are, God, and how just you are to keep your word. And you are chasing after us, God, and your desires and plans for us, they are good. And God, you will perform your word. Every time you've sent forth your word, God, you've never failed, but you've always accomplished that which it is set out to do, Lord. God, we pray for everyone that needs spiritual healing, God, where the flesh is willing, God, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, God. And sometimes when we've gave into that flesh too many times, it becomes strong, Lord. But we know that your spirit is even stronger than that, God. So, God, we pray for a new start today, God. A fresh awakening in our walk with you, God, that you would be holy and you would be almighty and you would be lifted up, God, because you said when you be lifted up that you will draw all men to yourself, Lord. And so we pray that that's what would be done today, God, that we would lift you up and glorify you as holy and magnificent, God. You're worthy of all of our praise. You're worthy of a walk that shows the glory of God and your goodness, Lord. You're worthy of it. It's not that you're telling us that we owe it to you, but just because you're majestic, Lord, and you are worthy of it, you're almighty God, and you're good. Father, you are a healer. You love us, and you care for us, and every little need in our life, God, it's not little to you because we're your children, God, and you care for us so deeply. More than we can imagine, more than we care for our earthly children, God, because you formed us with your hand, Lord. And God, you are for us, and you are not against us, Lord. God, remind us, Lord, in Jesus' name, of your goodness and your love, Father.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence and your goodness and your mercy, Lord. And every person that's coming to you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost, your mighty power that only you save, Lord. But, Lord, you bring forth and you bring righteousness and you place it on us, Lord. I just pray for every need, Lord. What I was praying is this, that joy fall, let mercy fall, love fall, faithfulness fall, the goodness of God fall on every person, every man, woman, child in this house today, that the blood of Jesus will fall and cover a multitude of sins, and let that faith rise, let a stirring of the sons and daughters come forth and preach a fresh word, come to that family, that broken household. It won't be broke because God, He comes to restore and make all things new. I plead the blood of Jesus to be covered over each one that's coming forth. He's seen those footsteps. He's seen you walk forth. He's seen every bit of it. He saw you come in. He saw that them tears that you said maybe last night. He saw those tears. He saw those groanings. He sees the groaning. Now just release it. It's oil to be released for the King. That the blood will be covered over you. And all thoughts right now be taken captive. Take them captive. Lord, take them thoughts captive and place the thoughts of your provision on your people in the name of Jesus. That the blood covers a lot. It covers all sins. All sins. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise your holy name. All glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. That's Yeshua. That's the Holy One. That's the one who's coming to get up, ride us out with a spot and blemish. I'm telling you, He's coming and He's looking for that bride. He's just waiting for the sons and daughters to be stirred with a freshness, a fresh oil to be released. For a generation, for the harvest is white and ready for the picking. I thank you, Lord. I praise your holy name. We love you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. May God bless you. Isn't God good?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All the time. Remember the spaghetti luncheon down here?
Just go ahead. We want you to go ahead and pray over the food.
Okay.
So when they go down there, they can just eat.
Okay. I'll go ahead and bless the food so that when we get down there, we'll be ready to go. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done today. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We just ask you to bless the food down at the Family Life Center, Lord. We pray that everyone will go and be blessed, Lord. We pray for our pastor, Terry Howell, that the sinus infection will be taken care of by your Spirit, Lord. Give him rest. And Lord, we just, again, thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord. Pray your blessings upon them. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.